So we are, hello, good morning again. We are continuing in our sermon series. It's The Good Shepherd, part four. If you're thinking, where was part three? That was last week's all-age worship where Ellie led us through continuing that sermon series. So if you like any notes from the mini-series, then the home group leaders have got these notes. But also, if you would like them, just come to me and I'll let you know them. I'll send them to you, just ping an email to you. Okay, wonderful. So before we crack into this morning's message, have you got your pens ready, your digital devices ready to take notes, not to look at anything else, obviously, clearly. And if not, then may we be ready to receive in our hearts some kingdom truths, some heavenly truths that will help to shape, inspire us, help us to become that little bit more like Jesus in the way that we can navigate through today's culture and today's world, which is pretty difficult and pretty hard. Well, I'm finding it pretty difficult, pretty hard. You might all be sorted, but you know, we're in this together. We need to be inspired, but know the truth. So let's pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. We've already given you much thanks and praise, but we can never stop giving you praise, adoration, and thanks and gratefulness. Because Jesus, you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. Part of this Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And I pray that as we continue to look at you as a good shepherd, looking at some dangers to us about bad shepherds, and also then some practical tools to help us to continue to discern you as a good shepherd. I pray for all of us, for those at home, for us here in this room, and for those who may be hearing this at another point in time. I pray that you would lead us and guide us to you and your ways, your truth. Help us to discern your voice amongst a sea of chaotic voices. May your voice resound. Help us to read scripture, to read your words, not just to amass information or knowledge, but to be transformed, truly transformed from the inside out. Help us to be more like you, to show others your truth, your ways. Words that are not from you this morning, may they not take root. Anything that is not right, anything that's not sound, may that just wash away, not take any root. But Holy Spirit, we pray that those things that you want us to receive and hear and to take on, to take in, may those words take root in our hearts, in our very souls. And by your living waters, Holy Spirit, may you nurture those seeds outworked in and through us. Not for our glory, but for your glory, for your name to be known, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen and amen. Okay, so the title for this morning's message is Danger for the Church. It doesn't necessarily seem encouraging to hear that. Danger for the Church. Actually, it probably should be phrasing that slightly different. There are dangers that we need to be aware of as Christians. And in this particular context, it's the bad shepherds, the bad voices, those things that can distract us, take us away from the heavenly truth, heavenly values for God and for his purposes. So, I did just click, but I didn't go forward. Okay, let's just check. Okay, let's try again. No. I pressed the 1-1. Thank you, Andy. So, bad shepherds are not found only outside the church. Jesus' strongest warnings were often directed at religious leaders. Ouch. Ouch. Christians can sometimes become vulnerable to voices that emphasize experience over truth, personality over Christ, emotion over discernment, authority without accountability. Let us be clear. God creates emotions. We all have emotions. We all definitely have emotions. Worship should engage our hearts. There will be times when we get caught up and tears come, or a sense of awe, or holiness. Emotions are real. That's good. That's healthy. The Bible is full of joy, tears, praise, and wonder. There's a whole raft of emotions expressed through this story, our story. The issue is not emotion. That's not the challenge here or the issue. It's whether the emotion replaces biblical truth. That's where we need to be aware of. I'll just say that again. So it's not, the issue isn't emotion, because we are emotional beings. We're God created, God breathed, and throughout scripture and time, emotions are expressed. But perhaps the issue and the challenge is whether emotion replaces biblical truth. So healthy worship leaves us more impressed, or other words of that nature, with Jesus, wanting to become more like him, giving him adoration, praise, more committed to obedience, more grounded in scripture, not simply emotionally moved for an hour on Sunday, or when you listen to certain music, wherever that may be. So healthy shepherds, we've touched on this already in the weeks just gone by, but the healthy shepherd welcomes questions. I've been around leaders in many different contexts, in different churches, different denominations, different size of churches, from 10,000 to 15 people. And there's been a thread, sadly, in a lot of these places, where the leaders, behind the scenes, you cannot ask questions, you're unable to approach them, you can't challenge them on things or even just spend time with them. That worries me and concerns me. And it's a big wake-up call to me being in ministry as a pastor, as a leader. I try and encourage questions. I need to work on how I respond to negative questions. That's just my thing to work through. But a healthy shepherd welcomes questions, encourages discernment, and points people to Christ rather than towards themselves. That's really important to take on board. There are many great teachers, podcasts, YouTubes, whatever, social media, YouTubes, what on earth even is that? That's what YouTubes, YouTube channels. You can subscribe to many great teachings. But within that, these are really good questions to ask. Are they pointing more to Jesus, or are they actually more about themselves and their ministry? So the mark of spiritual maturity, or the marks of spiritual maturity. This leads us to another important question. How do we avoid being misled? Please let me know. Have some good practical answers to this. But we need to be spiritually mature. If you turn with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. As you know, I'm reading from the King James. It's just what I'm reading through at the minute. You may have a different version, different translation. Ephesians 4, 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are many teachers. Now, I'm not going to use this morning as a platform to signpost to certain named leaders or global movements. That's not this space this morning. But there are many, let me put quote unquote, shepherds in a Christian world, in a Christian context, they're really all about themselves and are damaging the church. There's a lot of immaturity, therefore, arguably, with us as sheep, with shepherds leading us. Maybe every new trend becomes exciting. For those who've been Christians for a long time, have probably seen things come and go. Movements come, movements go. The next Christian fads come and go. The trendy things, you think, oh, that's really cool in that moment. But that just fades away. But every new trend becomes exciting. Every controversy becomes consuming. It's a really important one, that. We've got access to so much teaching. So much is available to us to consume. Even from a smartphone, the size not that much bigger than a wallet, if we even still have wallets these days. Every controversy becomes consuming. Oh, have you heard about the latest thing? Let's unpack that. Let's look at this. Let's go deeper. Ooh. Every loud voice seems important. And we must respond. We have to respond. As Christians, we've got to respond to this. Every loud voice seems important. I'm going to say something, not out of disrespect, but it's something that comes my way, and you may be aware of this. Muslims are taking over this nation. They're taking over the world. We have to be really aware, before we know it, we're going to become under Sharia law. There's an aggressive agenda. What are we going to do about it? We've got to do something. Every loud voice seems important, and we must respond. Be careful not to get swept up in culture's demands and emotions. Now, there may well be an area of concern with certain forced religious expressions. Yes, there may well be lots of strong voices that have got truth to them. But we've got to be careful not to just get swept up in that emotion and be grounded and be strong. So mature believers are anchored. Not because they know everything, but because they know Jesus Christ. That's vital. Not just because there's a lot of head knowledge, but it means there's a living relationship with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit. So maturity does not mean perfection. It means growth. A mature Christian remains teachable. Values truth over comfort. Moves from consumption to service. develops discernment, learns perseverance, and increasingly reflects the character of Jesus Christ. The question is not, am I spiritually mature? Perhaps the better question is, am I more like Jesus than I was a year ago? It's a good to do a bit of reflection on our lives, not to remain in a wallowing sense of pity and self-doubt, but to ask that question, okay, I've been a Christian now for a while, or wherever we are on that journey with faith, how am I growing? How am I maturing? Have I become more like Jesus? So learning to hear the shepherd's voice. So as you know, we've been journeying together about discerning the shepherd's voice. Who is a shepherd? What is a good shepherd? What's a bad shepherd? How can we recognize the good shepherd's voice? Well, we've got to become familiar with the good shepherd. We know this for those who are aware of that analogy of listening to the good shepherd's voice as sheep, to recognize the shepherd, because we hear that voice repeatedly. We know that voice. We understand that voice. If we spend far more time absorbing the world's voices than listening to God's voice, perhaps we shouldn't be surprised when discernment becomes difficult, foggy, murky, numb, or empty. So we can learn to hear the Good Shepherd's voice through scripture, through prayer, through worship, through Christian fellowship, through godly community, through daily obedience. Discernment is not a mysterious gift for a select few, but it is a habit formed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to use an expression now. Let's lock in. We're going to lock in. We're going to go further, as my teenagers will say. We've got to lock in, Dad. You've got to lock in. Let's go a bit further. Okay, I'm going to speed it up a little bit more now. So to become a reflective practitioner, doing a lot of my college studies and training to become a Baptist minister, accredited Baptist minister, this was a really important part of that journey, to become a reflective practitioner. So one of the main ways we can do that is, of course, prayer. So prayer slows us down. Many poor decisions happen when we're reactive. I put my hands up, and I'm sorry for those who've been in the receiving end of a reaction rather than a considered prayerful response. We hear something online, become emotional, and immediately accept it or reject it. But prayer creates a space between stimulus and response. It helps us move from reacting to reflecting, anxiety to trust, noise to listening. Often, discernment begins not by hearing more voices, but by quieting the ones already shouting. You may have heard me talk a lot about my own personal journey recently. I'm not signing you all to me, but this is going beyond that and going, I need to hear more of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I need to become more of a reflective practitioner. So I've got to dial down the noise, the chaos, the demands. Often discernment begins not by hearing more voices, but by quieting the ones already shouting. Prayer exposes our motives. If we're really honest and open and vulnerable, and we come before our Father with an open heart, with that heart posture that says, here I am, Lord. Show me your ways. Reveal the things in my heart that I need to be open before you. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the pride, the fear, the resentments, the self-interest, the desire for control, those sinful natures that can churn away, that can eat us up. The more honest we become before God, the more clearly we can discern. The thing of a car, and you've got, you know, the window, when the light shines and it's all murky on the windscreen, and then you use a washer, and the washer, is that right? Am I telling American? The washer? You know, the washer. What was that? That was not even an accent. And then it kind of does the job, but not really. Sometimes you get the flies on there, the dead bugs that are splattered on the windscreen, and it kind of washes, doesn't really wipe them away. And then you have to actually get the car washed, and it takes effort to clean and to have the clear view. We've got to pray to be able to discern with more clarity. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. You know, David prayed. King David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." That is a discernment prayer before it is anything else. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my ways. Teach me how to become more like you. Prayer aligns us with Christ. The goal of discernment isn't simply making the correct choice, but the goal is becoming more like Jesus. I think sometimes evangelicals can get a little bit of a bad reputation for only ever focusing on Jesus. You know, we only ever talk about Jesus. Well, it's Jesus this, Jesus that. It looks like a rabbit, smells like a rabbit, but it's actually Jesus. No, it's a rabbit. But in terms of that Sunday school analogy there, you know, the kids will only ever say Jesus because that's the right answer. We would only ever preach and talk about Jesus because we only ever focus on him. Well, yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That is scripture. We have to recognize the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. But I will not remain silent and I will not stop talking about Jesus. He is the only way, truth, and the life. The goal is becoming more like him. In prayer, we learn to ask not merely, what do I want, but what would Christ want? Not what benefits me, but what glorifies God and serves others. As our hearts become aligned with Christ, many decisions become clearer. And prayer helps us distinguish peace from pressure. Peace from pressure. Not every strong feeling is God's guidance. Sometimes what we call guidance is simply excitement, fear, anger, or urgency. Prayer provides time to test those emotions. Remember, we are emotional beings. Let us take time to consider, pause, pray. Perhaps a helpful question is, when I bring this before God repeatedly in prayer, does it deepen in clarity, conviction, and peace in terms of a decision we're thinking of or a situation we're going through? Or does it depend on emotional momentum? So God's leading often survives sustained prayer. Impulses often do not survive that sustained prayer. I've been there many times, an impulse purchase. Anybody done that? And this is slightly surface level stuff, but I really need to get this. It's on a special deal. It's only going to be available now. Click, buy. Oh, they still got the deal on a year later. The classic in today's world is the whole Temu. I really don't recommend you go there to buy things. But it's like, wow, this sofa is amazing. Look at it. Only costs £4.99. And it's like a whole massive sofa and it arrives and it's about that big. for that impulse, the impulse purchases, or our impulse reactions, our impulses, perhaps with uninformed judgments, can lead us to bad decisions and therefore difficult consequences. Prayer makes us more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through Scripture, conscience, wisdom, and the Christian community. The habit and culture of prayer. Prayer makes us more attentive to these promptings. Again, just to highlight, not every nudge is from God, but a prayerful person is more likely to notice when something conflicts with Scripture, lacks love, or arises from unhealthy motives. Okay, a practical pattern. When facing a decision, perhaps try praying something along the lines of, I didn't put it up here, Lord, what does your word say about this? What motives are driving me? Will this help me become more like you? What fruit is likely to grow from this choice? Have wise Christians affirmed or questioned this direction? Can I place this decision before you with a clear conscience? Discernment is not first about hearing a voice. It is about knowing a shepherd, the good shepherd. The shepherd that is Jesus Christ. Scripture guides discernment because it gives us God's revealed character, God's truth, and God's wisdom. Discernment is not primarily asking, what do I feel, but what does God say? I've gone ahead in my notes, apologies. So we have prayer to help us discern. We also have the living word of God to also help us discern. Scripture. Scripture guides discernment. It gives us that standard, that goal, that aim, that moral compass. Without Scripture, we're left comparing one opinion against another. With Scripture, we have a reference point. Whenever we hear a new teaching, culture trend, political message, spiritual claim, or personal conviction, we can ask these questions. And more, of course. Does this align with God's word? Does it reflect the character of Christ? Is it faithful to biblical truth? The question is not, is this popular? But rather, is this faithful to God and his word? As we know, Scripture transforms us. We read this as a mirror into our souls, as it were. Let it transform us, guide us, nurture us, challenge us. Many voices promise success, power, happiness, or security, often shortcuts to success, shortcuts to not having to strive through. It's easy. You know, take the shortcut, makes it easier. But Scripture teaches us to examine the fruit. If I follow this voice, what kind of person will I become? You think of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Anything that regularly produces pride, hatred, fear, contempt, or division should raise warning signs. Scripture corrects our blind spots. We all have them. We all have blind spots. Sometimes we can mistake preference for conviction, emotion for guidance, confidence for wisdom, popularity for truth. As we read Scripture, God often challenges assumptions we did not even realize we were making. Mature Christians don't merely ask, what does God's word say? Hang on, no, I got that wrong. Mature Christians ask, what does God's word say? Not, what do I think? Scripture produces spiritual maturity. As we know, the Apostle Paul describes immature believers as being blown here and there by every wind of teaching, as we read earlier. But the mature believers become anchored and discerning because they are grounded in truth. The more deeply rooted we are in Scripture, the less likely we are to be carried away by fashionable ideas, charismatic personalities, social media trends, fear-driven narratives, spiritual manipulation, and much more. A practical framework. When evaluating any voice, teaching, movement, or decision, ask these questions. Is it biblical? Does it sound like Jesus? What fruit would it produce? Does it encourage humility, love, holiness? Would I be comfortable defending this position from Scripture? Does this lead me towards the character and teaching of Jesus Christ or away from him? There's a lot to take in. I'm going to send these notes out to the home group leaders. Keep pressing in to Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Pray, pause, go back to the source, the author, perfecter of our faith, Scripture. Encourage each other, build one another up. Our members' meeting on Thursday, that message came through. Build one another up. Let's not tear down, destroy, encourage. Sure, we need to be disciplined too, and that's not always easy. But the more we look at the truth, discern the true shepherd, his voice, the more time we spend doing that, the more we're going to be able to lead, be led through this, led through our decisions at home, our own personal decisions, and decisions in our community. So I started with the first slide was danger for the church. I'm going to end with this slide, the hope for the church. In this mystery of faith, Jesus leads us and calls us to be his hands and feet. I got reminded of what is the sound of worship. I was getting challenged to somebody on our members' meeting on Thursday. And I'm a musician, as you know, I write songs, I'm looking to do that more, and all these things. But that sound of worship, when the disciples were sent out with nothing, literally hardly anything at all, and they came back, they listened to the voice of Jesus, and they came back so excited about what Jesus was doing in and through them, seeing healings, salvations, seeing so many incredible things. That's the sound of worship. That praise, that excitement, that joy. And he uses us in that way, that we are that hope in this world because of Jesus. There is hope in the church. There's hope in this world because of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are the good shepherd. Lord, there's so much to try and discern, so many teachings in the Christian context, so many different voices that are demanding our attention. Lord, I pray that we would fight to be reflective practitioners, that we would pray, intentionally seeking you, intentionally spending time reading scripture, praying, wrestling with difficult choices, decisions, circumstances that are hard, our emotions that can go all over the place. Lord, I pray that we would be disciplined. You would help us and lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray that where perhaps we feel we're not good enough, we're not worthy, that we can't be used for you and for your glory, may those lies go in the power and authority and name of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you choose each and every one of us as Christians to be part of your plan and purposes. Thank you for the hope we have in you, and therefore the outworking of that hope in our everyday. Help us to be your hands and feet, reaching out to the lost, the broken, the overlooked, all those people in our communities, our families. Thank you, Jesus, that you will provide. You have provided, and you'll continue to show and provide us the way forward. Amen. So we're going to hand back to Vince and the worship team to lead us in sung worship as a response to that message. May we continue to worship Jesus.